With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Betty Boo still doing the do, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Manchester City face Liverpool, and the England squad has been announced. It's Friday, 6th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
In among all this fake news, it's always good to get an update what Betty's doing.
But do you know for a fact she's still doing the do? Because I think you've assumed that.
No, of course she is. There's been no further update.
No, there's nothing you can do.
Bit of boo mania to start the show, Jim.
One for the teenagers, one for the kids. You know, you've just found this show for the first time. You think, I wouldn't mind listening to a football podcast. This one looks like it's doing all right.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you hear? A lyric from the 80s.
Yeah.
The 1980s.
Was it the 80s, was it?
Might have been. Goodness.
Yeah, I think
early
90s, was.
Possibly.
Well,
years active. 1987 to present. So.
Oh, there you go. She's still knocking about. Yeah, still present. Doing the do.
She's exactly. Still doing the do. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was going to say, where are you, baby? But there she is.
Yeah.
Right, chappies. Some marvellous happenings in the Europa League for a lot of the English sides. Leicester were dominant, weren't they, Jim?
They were. 4-0.
Oh, but Spurs got an away win.
Spurs did get an away win.
Mm.
Arsenal turned it around at home.
Yes, all right. We'll get to Arsenal in a brief moment. Jose Mourinho, we've seen a photo of him eating... Are they crisps or nachos?
I think nachos.
I suppose they're sort of not too dissimilar.
Yeah, really, no, they're a relation, aren't they, those two things, if not being the same thing.
If it was a singular, would you say, would you like a nachos, or would you say, would you like a nacho?
I think I'd say a nacho. It would be singular, would it not? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Well, nachos is would be plural, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He's eating them out of a Tupperware box, though, isn't he? Which is It's the decisions he makes as to what goes on his Instagram are a fascinating thing.
It's a measure of the charisma of the man.
Yeah.
That
that it can seep through a computer screen.
Yeah, that we will talk about him eating nachos.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. He knows this. We know this. Yeah. We've all signed up for the same thing. Long may it continue.
Yeah.
The caption, though, when you win but you don't play especially well. What do you turn to the nachos in the Tupperware container?
Yeah, the comment didn't make any sense when viewed with the image.
Mm. Yeah. But that's the thing with Mourinho. It doesn't quite make sense, but it makes sense enough.
It's like a fudged meme, isn't it? Each one. But obviously it becomes a meme in its own right because he's got so much charisma. So as far as he knows, he's probably doing it right. And he sort of is. He's just not doing the thing he thinks he's doing right. Mm.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and I should say, actually, if you're interested in European football, then you should listen to On the Continent, came out yesterday. Dotton and Andy, the dream team, were joined by Lars this week. Oh. Always a great time with Lars Sivertsen in the chair.
Big time.
They talked about a bit of Andre Villas-Boas, obviously a bit about the Champions League as well. But for those who would love to drill down into their European football chat, search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast catcher of choice and listen to the most recent episode of On the Continent. Well, in fact, listen to all the episodes on there, but On the Continent is the most recent one.
Big time. Harry Kane, 200 goals and 300 appearances for Spurs.
It's remarkable.
Not that's bad, is such it? Lovely symmetry.
Yeah.
Very nice to pleasing
see.
He should
stop now, shouldn't
we? We've all got different opinions about football, but if we can get behind one thing, it's a 66.6% recurring goal return.
That is so England, isn't
it? Exactly.
You are loving that, Mark.
That's how England he is.
Oh,
66%.
Yeah.
The spirit of 66.
Jim, you're enjoying that as well, even though he's a Spurs striker.
Yeah, I am.
And I'm enjoying it, even though I've now got a load of crushing paranoia that I might have got the math wrong. I don't think I have, though.
Don't you worry, pal. Don't you worry, yeah? So it's got to go down as a good win for Spurs, who needed to get back on that Europa League wagon. Elsewhere...
VRL?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I didn't see the game, but I saw the scenes before the game. Did they play it underwater?
It was a tactic because they're obviously the yellow submarine, aren't they?
Yeah. So. Well played, Zach.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I recognise a setup when I see one.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think I should be absolutely transparent, having mentioned him already. I think that tweet was made by Lars Sivertsen, so he takes the credit for that.
Right, Well, he takes with it for the weather and everything.
All of it. He set the whole thing up so he could do a joke on Twitter.
My goodness, you've got to admire that, ladies and gentlemen.
But Europa League's always a fun time.
Well, it is. It's actually, I'm quite enjoying the Europa League, some of the results. The two Glasgow clubs, were very much... involved. Rangers were denied a famous win in Benfica. 3-1 up against 10 men. They'd be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Got to be winning now, haven't you?
I think that, I mean, one man's little disappointed is another man's absolute shit show.
Yeah.
If you're 3-1 up against 10 men, you need to close it.
True.
Close it out.
Against
the
better side.
Against Benfica, though, who can't even win the competition because of the curse.
Yeah.
What a waste. But this is first round and they've been unbeaten at home for...
curse.
Wait, okay. Still unbeaten at home.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Morelos now 22 goals. He's overtaken Ali McCoist.
Yeah.
What did you compare that to Celtic, losing 4-1 at home?
Yeah, it's a poor result for them, that. They've had a bit of a terrible time of it.
They have. And are they going to have a terrible time in the Scottish Cup final against the Hearts?
It's just a confusing thing, isn't it?
What is?
Isn't it last season's Scottish Cup final?
Yeah. I tell you something. Hearts were done over with the whole null and void. As in call the season there, but they kept the Scottish Cup alive.
It's always difficult to know which side of the fence you sit on, Mark.
I will not budge.
No.
enjoyable happenings in the Europa League, as we say. Gentlemen, let's keep with the sort of the more kind of international or sort of European vibe, if you like, because England have got some Nations League games coming up. They've also got a friendly against Ireland as well. The England squad has been announced. Phil Foden's back. Mason Greenwood is not. Yeah. And I liked what Southgate said about this when they were asking him about that. He went, well, they don't come as a pair.
No, that's the thing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Well, we don't know about that, do we?
Yeah.
They weren't out there. They're not in there.
Yeah. But that's the thing. The media have decided that, but this is brilliant when you break it down.
Yeah.
The media has decided that because they both spoke to two Icelandic girls once, they're now the same kind of vehicle.
One entity.
Yeah. Nothing to do with the fact that one's been playing a bit more than the other. One's, you know, only 19 years old, he's got his future ahead of him.
Both play for different Manchester sides.
What are Foden and Greenwood up to?
The Foden and Greenwood twins.
Like Saint and Greaves.
Like Morecambe and Wise. But instead of humour, they just chirps.
Well, Southgate said, of course, that, you know, Foden's been playing more minutes for Manchester City. Greenwood has not been playing that much for Manchester United. That's what his thinking was there. He does employ that when it suits him, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I wonder if Southgate was at the game at all, because didn't Greenwood start the game? They lost heavily to Spurs at home.
Possibly. Greenwood
did
score.
I think he might have done.
He
came on to score, didn't he, recently?
RB Leipzig, he scored.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's not in there. But Foden is. Will he be able to function without his old mate Greenwood?
Yeah, he should be looking around, won't he?
Yeah, indeed. Reece James is back in the side. I was pleased for James because he got that, was it, two-match ban for that sort of silly sending off after the Denmark game. It was such a shame for him because he'd put in such a good shift in a position where there's such fierce competition.
Yeah.
So I think Southgate has thrown him a bit of a bone there, if you like.
Yes.
And I think that shows you a bit of the man management, because it was an unfortunate one to be sent off with. I mean, Kyle Walker as well, he was sent off against Iceland. I think Walker's clearly still a player who's got a lot to offer for England. But he was very concerned, if you remember that interview that he gave post-match against Iceland. He was almost looked like, I think I've blown it. I think my England career might be over.
Yeah.
And of course, he then subsequently, you know, has started at least one, maybe two, off the top of my head.
I think, it's good management from Southgate on that, because if he leaves Reece James or Kyle Walker out in those situations, it becomes another thing for him to deal with. Now, this is probably the last time we'll speak of it. Mm-hmm. They're both good players that are there on merit, and he's not just going to go, oh, you know what, I'm going to set an example, because setting an example becomes a narrative, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I also think that, I mean, this might be a bit of a bold shout, but I'm going to make it anyway. I think Reece James is England's best right back.
That is a huge shout. I like that boldness.
For me, I'm surprised that Trent Alexander-Arnold isn't the first name on the team sheet.
But he's not been playing very well this season.
You think?
I don't think he's been doing that
well. First name on the team sheet over Jordan Pickford. But
if you
are you bloody mad?
Why'd you let the Pickford beast out so early?
I didn't know I did. I know. It just gets out, doesn't it?
Well, should Joe Hart be back in there after that game for Spurs?
I think we'll look. Do you know what? I think we'll look. I'll make a slightly different point. I think we'll look back on Kyle Walker's career and go, bloody hell, he was actually really, really good. Because I think he went through a phase of being a little bit underrated, I thought. People were talking a lot at some points about his recovery pace, getting him out of trouble a lot. But I actually think he's been amazing. It's been taken this a whole career.
But also, I know...
But Alexander-Arnold hasn't started the season that well. Mm. And I think Reece James has got it all. We said it on the show when he first appeared on the scene, and people have been talking about him for a while. And then when you watched him play, you think, God, he's got everything. He's got everything.
But do you not think it's a good opportunity for Southgate to give a young player some minutes in an England shirt? Again, not as many minutes as perhaps he would like because of those games he's not going to be available for. But with Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, yes, when the tournament comes around, Jim, let's be honest, Alexander-Arnold is probably going to be first choice.
This is why I say this, because I don't know if he will be. I think if he was going to be first choice, he'd play him more, because he's got to integrate him into a regular setup, right?
Yeah, you're right. But I think he kind of knows what he expects from Alexander-Arnold, and Southgate clearly is experimenting with some of these players. We've seen that in some of the recent games. You know, it's a huge squad he's taken for these three games. 29 men in there, and so I think this is an opportunity. As Luke says, you know, Reece James, he played well. We probably will see him in the game that he's available for, and with Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, Alexander-Arnold may well start. You know, two out of these three, we know what he's capable of. He's an immensely talented player. Southgate knows this as well, but I think because he hasn't started the season that well, it gives Southgate the option to kind of try a few other options out, you know. But Bukayo Saka's in the squad, Jim.
Yes.
And the way he played against Mulder, you know, sort of setting up, assisting and running. I mean, I don't want to overdo it, but could he win England the Euros?
Bukayo Saka, on his own?
Yeah. He's a very exciting player as well.
Yeah, he is a very exciting player.
He's another player you think he's... I saw him popping up the other day. What game was it? He almost scored a header the other day.
He did almost score a header against Man United.
What are you even doing there?
Yeah, but I think the interesting thing as well is Saka played as a left wing back for England in the last round of games. And he has played there for Arsenal, and he can play there for Arsenal, but he would generally play a bit further forward in an ideal world when he's, you know, not covering for somebody. So it's interesting that he's been used in his sort of utility position that he plays for Arsenal for England as well. But, so I'm still not really sure where Southgate sees him on
the Jim,
pitch.
I think what we're seeing here, and because you could apply this to Reece James, you can play further forward, you can play a slightly different position. We're seeing a lot of versatile players come through now at a young age, and I think it might be because there's... I think if you even if you take England and Marcus, you'd be the man to speak to about this. They play different, experiment with different formations a lot, it seems, because of the sort of the way cycles go at international level. They're not playing the same formation now than they were playing in the World Cup. They were playing three with a one in front, weren't they?
No, they played 3-5-2 at the World Cup. The UEFA Nations League, they played 4-3-3.
Yeah, so...
Now, apparently the reports are saying that he's going to go for 3-4-3 for these games.
But the versatility, in that case then, versatility is going to help you. If you can do a good job...
Play like Saka's very first time.
It's going to help you, yeah, exactly.
And it goes very, very well in his favour. I mean, I'm not sure about the 3-4-3, to be honest with you, because I thought England looked quite good with the 4-3-3, but I understand Southgate maybe doesn't trust... some of the centre backs, which is understandable. But I think with a 4-3-3, you can set up that three in the midfield more defence minded. You can have two sitting in front of the back four, which gives you a bit more of a shield. And I always think England needs three in the centre of the pitch. Go back to all the way back to Glenn Hoddle when he figured that out, you know, quite quickly. Because England always get overrun. But I mean, who knows? Southgate may not play that, but that's what some of the reports suggest. Calvin Phillips is not around. Danny Ings is also out injured as well. But Phillips is a bit of a miss. But there are some people, you know, who will hopefully take their chance. James Ward-Prowse maybe being one of them. And certainly, if England get a free kick or two, Jim, you want him standing over the ball.
Absolutely, you do. Yeah, I mean, we were talking earlier about his record for Southampton, which is. I mean, has he taken Matt Letizia's record
for Southampton
for goals from set pieces for Southampton? That's
yeah.
Pretty swish. He also said recently, if I put the ball where I want to, no keeper can save it. Enjoy that confidence. I also enjoy that literally anyone can claim that. Anyone can say that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If I choose where it goes and it does, it's always going to be a goal.
Yeah. Well, the way he's been playing, you know, you could get a shout. You know, yeah. It'd be interesting. You mentioned Pickford there. Luke, Southgate has said he's going to stick with Jordan Pickford and it wasn't a difficult decision.
Did you hear Jim sigh then when you mentioned Pickford again?
We have some competition for places, but I would say that there is nobody who I think is challenging at the moment to push him out of that position. It is true, though, but Nick Pope's not had a good start to the season and Dean Henderson is not playing games. The only other person is young Joe Hart, but I think that ship has sailed.
From what I remember in the last round of England games, Jordan Pickford was trying to do his best to push Kyle Walker out of his position. So why is it all right for him to go around doing that to players, but not others to do it to him?
I feel like when you say Nick Pope isn't playing, having a very good start, I don't think Burnley have had a very good start to the season.
Yeah.
And we've talked a little bit before about how that may change and we don't want to be too panicked for Burnley just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick Pope played really well against, was it the West Brom game? They drew 0-0. He made a lot of good saves in that game.
He wasn't great against Newcastle, though.
He wasn't. So he's not achieving the consistency that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And Pickford, you have to say, it feels like you're kind of mandated to say it now whenever you talk about Pickford, that he doesn't let England down, really, as a general rule.
I mean, it was a slight error for the penalty that Denmark got, but I didn't think it was a penalty.
No, that was rash decision-making, but ultimately, from what I remember, it didn't affect the outcome.
Yeah,
because the penalty was given against Walker, right?
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one.
But I think Walker's in that situation because Pickford's there in the first place. I think that goes against.
It wasn't great. Personally.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Well, we haven't seen him too many sort of big howlers and too many shocking bits and pieces for England.
But what is interesting? What is interesting is so we have one more game in the Premier League before the international break again, right?
That's right. Yeah, this weekend we've got Manchester.
And Everton play Man United at home, and Pickford was dropped for the last game.
Yeah.
Now I know Ancelotti's come out and said he's going to play against United, and we always wanted to give Robin Olsen a chance. You don't know how much of that is him just being diplomatic, but.
He said it straight away.
Yeah.
It was interesting from Ancelotti. He said, yeah, no, Pickford's not in this game, but he will play against Manchester United. So he almost sort of tried to put to bed that whole.
Because he also said, I've always rotated my goalkeepers. Yeah. I did it at Napoli, I did it at Real Madrid, blah, blah, blah. You know?
I mean, apparently. Also the situation with the injury to Virgil van Dijk is something that is going to be weighing on Pickford's mind. So maybe he just needs to take him out of the firing line for a bit.
Possibly, yeah. The only other England goalkeeper that sort of leapt to mind was Alex McCarthy for Southampton, but he's just not in the squad, Jim.
No.
So he's not in the conversation, sadly.
And Dean Henderson's presumably going through some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder after playing for Man United recently.
Yeah, that doesn't sort of bode too well for him, does it?
Well, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it as a way of saying that what he had to look at when, as you guys covered yesterday, Demba Ba, I'm going to say ran through, ambled through, when he had to see that in front of him, Henderson, that would be difficult mentally to get over.
Indeed,
so maybe he's not.
Surely they're going to catch him. Oh, no.
No. Are they just further away? Have I got both eyes open? Have I got the... I can't work out the depth. Oh, he scored.
He's gaining on us.
Yeah.
Deary me, yeah. So, I mean, I am delighted that the international break has come back once again. But we have to get through some Premier League before that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So do
just part of it.
Just batten down the hatches and get through it, quite frankly.
Yeah, hold your nose.
Yeah, it's very much the boot camp, isn't it, for international.
It's the judges' breaks. Houses.
Yeah. Before we get to the stage.
Yeah.
Before we're on Saturday nights again.
Yeah, before we get to the live shows.
Deary me. Well, of course, the Premier League is back this week. I say it's back. It never went away. We'll say that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But yes, it will be there. Like me, you might not be able to watch your team on the weekend because of pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can do it, but I would discourage you from doing so. Every bloody Fulham game. Apparently, they're having a chat that they may scrap this after this weekend. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that's good. When are Fulham playing Saturday night? That's pay-per-view again.
Yeah.
They've targeted fans based on assumptions about their...
Well, and it's also like taking the piss because Fulham are shit.
Exactly.
Hang about.
That you know they are.
Great win against West Brom.
Yeah. Was it a great win?
Yeah.
To live long in the memory, that one?
2-0, clean sheet.
I think it will live long in the memory for Fulham fans this season. Yeah,
but
they're going to have to take what they can get.
2-0 against West Brom is a dictionary definition win, mate. It's not a great win.
It's a professional win. They did a good professional
job. Downgraded
already. Yeah.
Well, I like professionalism, Jim. Yeah. I wish you did as well.
Marcus, this is a win for you. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. But you're alluding to the fact that it's looking likely, though the decision hasn't been made yet, that PPV is going to be scrapped.
Yes. Yeah.
For a while. That's what they're talking about, isn't it? They'll review it again in January. Like, try and get their greedy little claws into our pockets.
You do get ideas, and we shouldn't be afraid of new ideas and creative solutions to difficult problems.
Mm.
And you get ideas.
We would not have the spork.
No,
for example,
you wouldn't have the sport. Like exactly right. And it's a very good point. But, you sometimes get ideas that are like, we'll give that a go.
Mm.
And it's not worked.
Yeah.
Right. And you look back and you go, do you know what? We were within our rights to try that. It didn't work out. This is one of those unique ideas that was a shit idea at the start, continue to be a shit idea throughout. And then when we look back on it, it's going to again be a shit idea. So well done to the Premier League for that.
Would you put it in the same bracket as the Millennium Dome?
I think the Millennium Dome was at least had a kind of curiosity about it.
Yeah.
Trapeze artists, Jim's mate Tony Blair doing the round. The thing about the Millennium Dome is it was at least a noble endeavour in principle, and we've got the O2 out of it.
We do have the O2 out of it.
And again, can I really thank you for bringing up a cultural reference that is again 20 years old? Because that is very, very good.
Yeah, but it's still there, though.
In a way.
It may not be called the Millennium Dome, but just some people may not remember where it started.
No.
I mean, by the name of it, they should know the year.
Do you remember Penny Sweets?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, what are they? Two pennies, isn't
it? Oh, police were getting younger. Aren't they? So anyway, what we should say, Mark, is actually, I'm sure you were going to go on to say this, so apologies for jumping in.
Not at all.
A lot of money raised for charity off the back of
this.
What's happened is, again...
Yes.
The fans of the game, the lifeblood of the game, have actually turned this into a positive, and that shouldn't be unacknowledged.
In fact, that should be the headline here, because,
Premier League charity drive raises £300,000?
No,
by accident.
Genuinely, because,
we
talk a lot about how football fans get fleeced and how the game gets more and more expensive. And
Jim, imagine...
Blah, 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 blah.
Sorry to cut him. Imagine the Premier League released a statement saying, so you have got the money then.
Yeah.
Make your mind up.
Well, if we hadn't introduced this, then so much money wouldn't have been raised for charity.
Yeah. Premier League's headline is, football fans prove they do have the money to pay for
it,
but they choose not to.
But the headline is so often that, that fans are kind of, over a barrel and there's not much they can do to stop having to pay through the nose for it. And it's been a round rejection, hasn't it, of this idea. There has been a line drawn where people have gone, no, this is enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really think of many other examples of that. And that's a good thing that should not be lost among all this.
Yeah.
Well, and a tangential issue, just very, very briefly, is this thing that I bring up every so often that doesn't seem to get a huge amount of coverage because, again, the news cycle, people get fatigued by it, is that a lot of football league clubs are in trouble still. But it's still happening. So there's not been a solution that I've seen that's been solved this problem.
Well, they're having a chat, aren't they?
At the moment they are. But there was talk, wasn't there, going into that meeting that there's up to, I think, around 15 clubs in serious danger.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two, didn't we? Two, possibly more before the pandemic.
It wouldn't shock you, though, if the Premier League said, we tried the pay-per-view thing. The fans haven't helped us out, therefore we can't help you out.
Yeah.
You need to encourage everybody.
Yeah. Was it the Fulham West? I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful here, Marcus, so forgive me.
That's all right. We've breached that.
Was it the West Brom Fulham game that attracted under 1,000 under 1,000 pay-per-view buys?
Yes, I think so. I think it's been very, very little.
Poorly received.
Yeah, indeed.
As you'd expect.
Yeah. Indeed it has. Before we go for a break, just a little mention maybe for Southampton Newcastle tonight.
Yeah, it's a shame for me that we could be... I mean, we will be in a situation, won't we? If Southampton win, they will be top of the league.
How about that?
In November.
In November.
Mm. Yeah, that's too late in the season for me.
Well, I mean, I know we sort of started a little bit late, but my goodness. I quite liked Hasenhüttl saying recently that he said it's quite nice when we're a little bit under the radar. I said, well, don't say that. You just put yourself on the radar.
You poked your head above the trench.
Oh, you can't see us? Yeah, we can. Yeah. And he said...
Be quiet, everyone! Oh, I've blown it.
And then he said that we're a bit like the Pirates, which is more fun than being in the Navy or something like that.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think a pirate's life is probably quite miserable.
Yeah, I think what you'd probably have...
Constantly looking over your shoulder.
The expectation would be mad because you'd think, well, I want to be a fucking pirate, so it'd be brilliant. And like you say, it would be shit. The Navy, you'd be dreading it, but you might, in fact, flourish under the order and among the chaos.
Indeed, and think of the pension plan as well.
Do pirates attack the Navy? I don't think they do. I think they probably would they not have avoided that, gone for more commercial ships?
Jim, I think back in the day, all sorts went on.
I was going to say, Jim, but Jim's talking modern era.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm talking any era of pirates.
They certainly defend them, trying to defend themselves. But you know, I would say the Royal Navy are more equipped than pirates.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're an expert, that's no.
Yeah, but I think what he's. I mean, if I was to kind of meet him halfway with this analogy, because I quite like Hasenhüttl, despite myself, I think he's probably trying to say that you know. The Navy are the kind of the establishment clubs, your Man United, your Man City, your Liverpool, and we're the kind of the plucky kind of underdogs, you know, who you know have slipped under the radar by being a glorified hockey club full of twats.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful home-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
One of your own.
What a pumpy break.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some correspondence.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kane, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Well done indeed. We've actually got some tweets for you today, not just emails. We won't ask Pete to do another
an extra one.
Yeah,
take 6 months. Right?
A retake. Now, we mentioned Carlisle United rewarding Man of the Match players with curries from the local takeaway.
It's just great
stuff. It's lovely. Yeah, it was
great.
On social media. I'm sure many of you saw this. And some of our delightful followers on Twitter have responded with some other fantastic Man of the Match awards. Matty Philipowitz has sent in a photo of a Man of the Match award from South Africa from their Premier Division. A chap was awarded 5 gigs of mobile data for a Man of the Match. I think we spoke about this when it happened.
That dates it because I think that's going to be, back in the day, that was a lot of data, probably. And we
that
talked about it all the time. Wasn't he presented by like a giant SIM card?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he was.
Which I love. It's a modern version of the big check.
It's super.
You don't really see big checks so much now.
It's also, what it says to me is, we're going to do this presentation, and some of the older members of the crowd aren't going to know what it is.
Yeah.
So if we give them a visual representation, they might get it.
I have to say, Matty Philipowitz, that is one of my favourite ones. Thank you for sending that in. Because, as I say, I think we may have mentioned that a few years ago when it happened.
Yeah.
But it was lovely to
get a reminder.
To get a reminder of
and
that.
And more importantly, when you can regenerate old content, it's much easier for
definitely.
Us.
Yeah, and Matty knows that.
Yeah, he's helping us out there.
Yeah.
Paulo Diaz, good name, by the way, says, staying in South Africa. I love this. In the local version of the FA Cup in South Africa, the Man of the Match gets a lovely green blazer.
That's South Africa again.
Yeah. Like, it's like the Masters.
Wear it in the next game. Like the yellow jersey.
Yeah. That'd be brilliant.
It would be great.
That'd be
it?
So good. Because you know that a lot of football clubs, and it happened, I think, at my university as well. If you, it wouldn't have been us actually, because we didn't really train, did we?
No.
It would have been my mate's university. I think the worst person in training had this really dirty shell suit that had to wear for the next training session, and it never got washed.
I thought you were going to say, the only thing I can remember about Man of the Match was, we never really did this in the football team, but the rugby lads would always have the Man of the Match and then the Donkey of the Match.
No, we had that. We had that.
Oh, did we?
We had that in the twos, yeah.
Oh, okay. There was a yard of ale they would do.
There was a Premier League team.
We'd do a yard of Baileys.
That did a 98 Brazil World Cup shirt that the guy had to wear as like an ironic thing for being the worst in training.
Was that not Newcastle United?
Might be, actually. Yeah. I got a vision of Joey Barton wearing it, so it might have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, green blazer, great stuff. Get it. I think Jim's absolutely right. You've got to wear it for the next game.
Absolutely right. Ollie Beaumont also got in touch and said, Franco Armani, amazing name. The River Plate goalkeeper did a Man of the Match interview in a Burger King hat. It's so, like, all of these have a kind of diminishment of the accomplishment.
What, is it the Burger King crown?
Right. Yes.
No, the blazer doesn't. The blazer's a bit...
This is true.
I think the blazer could backfire, though, because if you put in a Man of the Match performance where you've just been down in the trenches all game, and then people are rewarding that with a blazer, it's not gentlemanly work, is it?
No, it is. I think they put the blazer on. It smartens them up for a brief moment.
I like the photos that were doing the rounds on this conversation. And forgive me, I can't remember who actually shared them. But there were people getting it back in, I think this probably would have been the 80s, maybe even the 70s, a massive bottle of Bell's whiskey.
Yeah.
like massive.
Absolutely huge. Because, I mean, the manager of the season award in Scotland as well was like the size of the Stanley Cup, like as big as a man, as a small man.
So for some reason in my house as a kid, and I've got a half Scottish household, we had a massive bottle of Bell's in the house. I mean, it was literally 3 foot high, and it was empty, and we used to put our 1p's and 2p's in there. And that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Was that a thing for you guys back in the day?
I never personally did that, but I was aware of it being a thing. And it was a thing that I was always used to say, because it had a piggy bank and all that. But I remember thinking, that's quite good. Because some people would say, you put all your shrapnel in there, and by the end of the year, you know, you can afford a speedboat or something.
At the end of the year, you've got about £8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bell's is a funny one as well. I presume it was some sort of sponsorship thing. But that Bell's is the sort of like, I'm a student, I'm going to get a cheap bottle of whiskey from the off-licence thing. A lot like Glen's vodka. Do you know what I mean? You want vodka to be named after a Russian person, not Glenn. Who's Glen? He's making that in his bathtub.
A Glen is the Scottish word for valley.
Yeah, but he's talking about vodka, talking vodka, though.
Oh, vodka, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, don't want it. Right, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that is
Glen. I never trust anyone called Glen.
What about Glen Fiddich, if you're talking about the...
Glen Morangi.
There you are, another one.
Yeah. Glen Livett.
Yeah, Hoddle. Yeah. Any Glens, Jim, you want to
put to exactly. Glen Hoddle. Never trust a Glen.
Oh, I like Glen.
You've got a friend called Glen, that's why.
Yeah, that'll be why. You seem like someone who's got a friend called
Glen. Tribble.
Oh, it's Glyn.
Oh, is it Glyn? Sorry, apologies. Yeah. The Welsh version. The Welsh version.
True enough. Yeah. You can trust him.
Yeah.
Very much so. Right. No, we're not going to do the jingle because they were just tweets and not emails. You know, it's Friday.
Let's move on.
Give people a little bit of a treat, I say. Yeah. Manchester City are playing Liverpool on Sunday. Big one. Big one, Jim. Will Diego Jota start for Liverpool? Will they go for Bobby Firmino?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this because, I mean, he might start them both because he has played Jota in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends how he's going to try and take the game to City, doesn't it? I personally think he will start both and he'll just absolutely go hell for leather and try and give him a bit of a...
Do you know something?
Seeing to.
Well, I think the second half is very important in this game, and I'm basing that on a stat.
Yeah, I also saw this same stat.
Yeah, so Manchester City, in the first half of games this season, have got the best record in the league. And in the second half of games, they have the 16th best record in the league. Now, if you're Jurgen Klopp, you're thinking to yourself,
Stick in it.
Release the hounds for the second half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the only thing that kind of perhaps undermines that stat slightly is that we're quite early in the season.
Yeah, it's a small sample size.
Yeah, but when I saw that, it stuck in my mind as well. And so that could be a factor.
Yeah, but I've just heard that he's just signed Adama Traore.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so he might be coming
outside
on the
rogue move. That's the transfer. That will almost certainly be the subject of an appeal. And it will be completely quashed, Marcus. So that's not going to happen.
No, okay.
And he's not going to declare quick enough for this weekend.
Indeed.
Yeah. Diogo Jota's an interesting one because my mind's obviously very old now. I had him pigeonholed as a left-sided player.
Mm.
Then you see him play more and more through the middle for Liverpool in this kind of Firmino replacement role, like he did against Atalanta. And he was... I mean, Atalanta were really disappointed.
They were.
You guys have covered it, but... I was impressed with Jota, to say the least. I thought he was a great player. I thought he was a great signing, but he was an incredible handful.
You talked about that earlier with some of the England players being versatile. I mean, what a player to have.
Can't pick him, mate. He's not English.
Okay. Well,
stick him in goal.
Let's go back to the Premier League then. But what a player for Liverpool to have.
Yeah.
To be able to play him across that front three or even in the midfield. But he said it himself, Jota did, which I quite liked. I mean, there's you know, someone trying to be a little bit kind of, humble. But he said, I don't mind where I play across the midfield, you know, blah, 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 even on the bench, whatever. I thought, well, don't.
He's already scored 7 goals. Yeah.
I know.
It's mad. And I think if you take into account the international goals he scored, he's got 10 this season already.
It's but crazy.
What about Manchester City's new signings, Ferran Torres?
Mm. Yeah.
Andy Brassel spoke very highly of him. He's been scoring goals as well. Again, another one of those signings. Who's not a blockbuster sort of type player, but going about his business very, very well indeed. But if you are a Manchester City fan and you saw that Liverpool performance against Atalanta and the way Manchester City have not really got going in the league, I mean, they're, what are they, 10th or something?
They've
at the
not
moment.
Won back-to-back games yet either.
You'd be concerned,
Jim. Them. You'd be very concerned.
And it's interesting to me that Ferran Torres's performances have been outstanding in the Champions League, but not in the Premier League.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's, again, which early sample size, difficult to make any draw any conclusions. But even in the game against, who did they play? Porto.
Oh, sorry.
He didn't even start the game. Yeah. But he came on and still was able to affect it. So,
yeah. Well, has he adapted to the Premier League, is what you're saying?
I just think it's maybe a bit early to say. Mm-hmm. I think he will start the game against Liverpool.
But do you not think some of their bigger players, like the sort of Raheem Sterlings and so on, I mean, I know Aguero's had his injury problems and so on, but we've not seen the kind of type of performances and the kind of the goals that we're used to seeing.
The sort of strangulation that you'd expect from City.
Yeah.
It's not really there, is it?
Also, I don't know what you guys think, but I feel like the Premier League is as open as I think I can remember it. It's certainly as open as it's been since the Leicester season, which was a bit of an anomaly because of the way the cycles that different big teams are in.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, though, which you could treat as an outlier of a season, I don't remember the Premier League being as open as
this. Well, personified by saying that Southampton could go top tonight if they win.
Yeah. You know, I suspect that might be a bit of a false dawn, though. And I think this will be a really interesting match in terms of what happens at the end of the season. I think there's an argument this is the biggest game so far.
You think
if there are teams that are going to pull away, you would think it will be these two. So if one of them can strike a blow early, or perhaps late in the second half,
And we're not even the quarter. Telling. We're not even a quarter into the season. Exactly.
I don't think the Pirates of Southampton can spring a surprise
and win the league.
What about the good ship?
Plunder the league.
What about the Jolly Rogers?
Make off with all the Premier League booty,
Jim. What about the Jolly Rogers?
What does that mean?
Brendan Rogers.
Oh, right. Yeah. The Jolly Rogers.
Fucking what am I, a translator? Hey, what happens at the end of a pirate movie? The pirates go on to a disappointing sequel.
Yes. Yeah.
And
four times.
Yeah, eventually at some point, pirates go into jail, don't they?
Careful.
They do.
Yeah, okay.
The pirate characters, are they the good guys or the bad guys? They're anti-heroes.
Okay.
You don't know what's going to happen. My point is that it's open-ended. We don't know what's going to happen.
Righty-ho. Well, let's talk about a game that probably won't affect the title, Brighton versus Burnley. That's also tonight. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bit more of an interesting game than one might think. Neil Morpay may be back in line to play after missing the game against Spurs. Graham Potter said that he missed the game because of an incident.
Can you use his proper name, please, as per Mourinho? Just Potter.
Graham Harry Potter.
He's like Madonna. Just Potter. He keeps calling him Potter.
He's just like Madonna, isn't he?
Yeah. Or Beyonce.
Indeed. Mm. Well, Brighton, I mean, are they going to get into the groove, Jim?
I think they could certainly get into the groove against Burnley at home, if ever there's a time to get into the groove. That is it. Although there's talk of a Burnley takeover. Well, if that happens in time, maybe they can get Adama Traore in.
This,
but is it also unfair that whenever I hear that it's going to be a Burnley takeover, my instinct is to think, well, it's just going to be exactly the same as it was before.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they're.
I haven't looked into it.
Are they going to put a shopping centre there?
Mm. Well,
yeah, maybe.
The takeover talks are. You know, this is serious stuff. This is not. I don't think Amanda Staveley is involved. So I think this is quite a serious one. So it would be interesting to see if they got a bit of a
cash. I don't think Amanda Staveley has a huge interest in Burnley, with the greatest respect.
Whenever I think takeover, I thought, is Staveley involved? Okay, fine.
But the story here, Marcus, is Morpay, isn't it? And what Potter has said about him and the narrative around, like, it's the first time in a while that Graham Potter has essentially, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but essentially said that I dropped him because he's a bit of a dickhead.
Mm. Do you think that's it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I think because if you believe what you read and read between the lines and all that kind of stuff, the fact that Brighton go to Spurs with no recognised striker rather than take Morpay and he isn't injured, confirmed, means that it can't really be for tactical reasons. They end up playing Trossard up front, who's not a striker. And it's apparently it's some kind of ego-related issue, as has been reported. I mean, I'm not sure what message it sends to an egotist when you say, we're going without you, and then you get beat.
Well, I think it sends a nice little message. It's certainly a nice little nod to Craig Levein with a 4-6-0.
Yes, that is true, actually. Mm-hmm.
So, think about that. Think about the bigger picture.
Ended that well for him, didn't it?
Very well. Yeah. Burnley, though, they are bottom. They need results. They need results. I mean, we've seen Burnley do this, but if you're a Burnley fan, you think, can we not have a season without that? I mean, they've conceded 12 in 6 games, and they're usually pretty good at the back. You know, Nick Pope was just one clean sheet away from equaling Edison's record last season, wasn't he? I think it was Edison. Oh, no, it was Edison. But it's not looking good for Burnley. But I think, you know, Dyche said before during the build-up to this game that he sort of alluded to the fact that, you know, Brighton have got a bit more spending power than them or something like that. And again, he's now sort of...
Save that for Man City. Yeah. Don't use that card on Brighton.
Yeah, he gone early there.
You can't get that back.
Yeah.
So it was a bit surprising if you think about it. You know, Brighton have spent sort of pretty well and have not been too lavish. But that's why I think, you know, is he sort of trying to lay the groundwork for the owners before these new owners apparently try and get a bit of footing? I mean, they've provided proof of funding and they're waiting on the Premier League's owners and directors test for clearance. Which, you know, I'll leave that to the news channels.
I mean, it's kind of remarkable what Burnley have been able to do in terms of money spent. Mm. I mean, we talk about that a lot, but I mean, they spend the last couple of seasons or whatever it's been, they'll normally spend in a whole window less than a lot of the big teams will spend on one player. But unfortunately, the way football is at the moment, you wonder how long that's sustainable.
Well, if you look at even Manchester City, who've spent loads of money, inertia's, you know, I would suggest is kicking in there, and Guardiola, I wouldn't be surprised, is off at the end of the season. Mm. I've said that before. There are other sides. You know, we saw it with Pochettino, Spurs. You know, that was the bit of the chat there. Now, with Dyche, if you don't have the money coming in, you can't bring in a lot of new players and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're used to his methods and they buy into that. And he's done a remarkable job with that club. Yeah. I mean, he really, really has. But, you know... just by the way, you know, the law of averages, it wouldn't be surprising if, you know, some of the players and the way it's going there, that does set in. And for a side like Burnley, you know, they don't have the quality that, say, Spurs and Man City do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as well, but you would think that after a while, and I don't know, I felt like this might happen to Burnley pretty much every season they've been in the Premier League since they stayed up when they got back up again the last time, that just the fatigue of being set up as the underdog in every game you play, as that being your style, it's going to surely have an effect. And you see it run out. You know, you see teams like set up with that style and then it just eventually doing the same thing over and over again, just it just stops being as effective.
Yeah. Does Sean Dyche need a holiday, Jim?
Doesn't he hate a holiday?
Doesn't everyone need a holiday?
No, him and his assistant manager, Ian Wynne, they go on little holidays,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, but doesn't Dyche hate it when he gets there?
Well, I mean, okay. They often go on trips together. But I didn't know Ian Wynne and Sean Dyche, apparently they've shared a flat together for the last 7 years during this football season.
That's... I'm surprised we're learning of this just now.
Yeah, I think...
Which one's Martin Clunes? Which one's Neil Morrissey, do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know.
Again, another great reference for people.
I was about to say, yeah. Well, this was in the press last week. They went to Las Vegas, apparently, for a little holiday. And Ian Wynne said they went to the Grand Canyon, which was something like a 12-hour round trip. And he said that Sean Dyche looked over the rim for 2 minutes and said, all right, I've seen it, let's go. One of the most spectacular sights the planet has to offer.
Why are you going on holiday with that man, Ian Wynne? We've all got mates who are a bit dour.
Do you reckon he
doesn't
just...
strike me as much of a travel buddy if that's his reaction to the Grand Canyon?
Dyche was like, well, the lads can't train on this.
Yeah. He said, you've got to be kidding me. He just looked at it and said, I've seen it. What else have I got to see? I'm just looking at this big hole.
Some people camp out in that for weeks.
Yeah.
They have a lovely old time.
There's a lot of it. You could walk around it for a bit, sure.
Yeah. For days, Jim. Yeah. Weeks, even. Apparently they visited the Parthenon in Athens ahead of the Europa League tie with Olympiacos. He said, we got up there and I'm thinking, this is going to be amazing. Literally, we're back in the minibus after 5 minutes.
But from the Parthenon.
From the old Parthenon.
One of the most ancient things you can see.
I know.
And the Parthenon. All right.
Oh, you're going to love old Dyche.
Yeah, you have. You got no choice. You could hate him, but who'd listen? Yeah. It's time for Betway's Four to Score. Entering the Betway's Four to Score is free, as it is every week. All you need to do each week is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. As ever, guys, pin your ears back for the warning. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. And further T's and C's apply. Game one is West Brom v Spurs. And you're up, Marcus Speller, looking to regain some kind of form. Is that fair? And you're under pressure, first game.
Always under pressure, so I've gone for Son.
That's a good shout.
I'd be ridiculous not to.
I think, yeah, going outside of Son or Kane would be a difficult pick. When you're not in any form, if you don't mind me
Absolutely,
saying.
You're right. Yeah.
Game two, Leicester v Wolves, is Jim Campbell.
Yeah, I'm trying to play it relatively safe. I thought about going for James Maddison, but he played in the Europa League the other night, scored a goal, just coming back from injury, so I don't know if he'll start. So Jamie Vardy did not start, so I think he's obviously very likely to start against Wolves, and if there's anyone that's going to get us out of this Jimenez mess, then it would surely be King Shithouse himself.
I thought Luis Suarez, based on the other day, was King Shithouse.
He's sort of like Emperor Shithouse.
Vardy's the king in the north.
Yeah.
Okay, Vardy, great. Good stuff. Game three is Manchester City v Liverpool, the big one. And who better to get on that game than our fave, Jules Breach? Here's what she had to say.
Oh, it's the big one of the weekend. Man City against Liverpool. I think I'm going to go for Mo Salah in this one because of the whole penalty situation. I think Liverpool could win an early penalty and I think Salah will slot it home.
Jules Breach there, coming live from her fridge. Game four, Arsenal v Aston Villa.
I was thinking cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Do you remember Phil Neville started commentary for the first time?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like whispering the
whispering
whole time.
Phil, yeah.
And someone said that he sounded like he was trying not to wake someone up in the next bedroom or something. Anyway, Mo Salah for Jules. Game four is me, Arsenal v Aston Villa. I've been in good form. I know people are going to kind of balk at me saying this, bigging myself up. I'm not one to toot my
own reporting the facts, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I've had four already this season now, which is, if you don't mind me saying, guys, it's remarkable
impressive.
Return.
It's impressive.
Arsenal v Aston Villa. I've gone for Pierre-Emerick or Aubameyang to complete the set. So, in summary, four big hitters here. We're playing the percentages in a big way. West Brom v Spurs is Son. Leicester v Wolves, we've picked Vardy. Man City v Liverpool, we've picked Salah. And Arsenal v Aston Villa, we've picked Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game if you want to play. It's completely free, of course. Further T's and C's apply. And if you do want to play, you must be over the age of 18 and make sure you gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Now, it was a source of great controversy last week. But today, it's all about the lineal champion versus the people's champion. It's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. What a fixture. What an occasion. Let's play Luke's game. Fire in the belly, head in the freezer. If you want to see what happens if you don't have your head in the freezer at key moments, look at Donald Trump last night.
That's all I'll say.
Never has a man's head been further away from a freezer.
Indeed.
Yeah. Marcus, you have developed quite the reputation as being the people's champion in this game.
It was a unification bout. You know, it's a big thing.
But Jim, the title is on you. You've got belt. Yeah. I mean, it gives you a lot of confidence.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess we see who comes up. Yeah. You know, it's...
Would you say that, Jim, keeping fire in your belly and your head in the freezer has been important?
It has, yeah. I mean, you know, you've got to do what you can to stay ahead in this game. Two champions in the room will tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Two champions. Would you rather be the people's champion or the lineal champion?
I'll always be the people's champion.
Yeah, true, actually. Can't be taken from you, can it?
Yeah, exactly. And just in case I lose, I'd rather be the people's champion.
Yeah, here we go. All right, so the lineal champion traditionally goes second. Okay,
yes.
So the people's champion's going to go first, Marcus Speller.
Here we go.
The first player has... do you need to give a quick run down of the rules? Probably
no.
Just,
they know. They'll figure it out.
As the jingle says.
Yeah.
The first player has played for 5 clubs in total. He retired in 2014. You've probably seen a fair amount of him since he retired. It's Jermaine Genus.
Jermaine Genus?
Used to be Jermaine Genus, of course. Famous for not only being a midfield player of some repute, but also for stealing all the features for our Ramble games. Mm,
5 clubs?
I'm surprised by that as well.
I am.
Yeah, played for 5.
Blimey.
Of course, I'm being facetious there. Jermaine Genus has not stolen anything from us. I'm just mucking around.
Seems a nice chap.
Yeah. Does indeed. Seem lovely, actually.
Blimey, O'Reilly. I'll go for 3.
3? Jim? People listening, Jim, will be fascinated at your tactics here.
Yeah.
You can try and protect what you've got, or you can try and push home your advantage.
I think Spelzy will have the same 3 I've definitely got, so I think I've got nothing to lose by saying 4.
Do you want five? I don't want five, no. No, okay. So, Jim, you could name 4 of the clubs that Jermaine Genus has turned out for, you get a point.
Cool. So,
one at a time, please.
Tottenham Hotspurs.
Correct.
Newcastle Uniteds.
That's also correct.
Nottingham Forests.
Started his career there.
This is one I'm not so sure about, and I'm going to say QPR.
Oh, very well played.
Well played,
Jim. Very well played.
Was it Ipswich the other one?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, wow.
Started his career at Nottingham Forest, then Newcastle, then Tottenham. Went to Aston Villa on loan.
Oh, didn't know that.
Back to Forest on loan, uh-huh. And then ended his career at Queen's Park Rangers. Sadly, had to retire very young for a knee reason. Okay, so that's
one championship nil. Stuff from
very good for early
from
form.
Jim there. Yeah, absolutely.
Long way to go though.
1-0 to Jim. Jim, you are up first this time. He's played for 8 clubs in total.
Oh, that's a big one.
Okay. Let me just actually update my records as to who won the point there. 8 clubs in total. Retired in 2017.
Stop the count.
Retired in 2017. He has been known to eat his dinner live on TV. It's Shay Given.
Oh, big Shay.
8 clubs in total.
That is a tough one because we know one of them very well, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gordon Bennett.
8. Can you believe
one,
that?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
8 clubs.
Yeah. There's a few you'd never get in a million years.
Yeah.
I need a number from you, Jim.
I'm going to go 2.
Well, I'm going to have to go 3.
He's going to have to go 3.
Okay, so you don't want 4?
No, I do not.
Okay, Marcus, to tie it up at 1-0,
mm-hmm.
Stay in the race, because 2-0 down is very difficult.
I've thrown it away before.
three clubs.
Sorry, mate, so have I.
3 clubs that Shay Given has played for, one at a time, please.
Newcastle United.
That's correct.
Manchester City.
That's also correct.
Aston Villa.
That's correct.
Well done, Marcus.
Well, I wasn't... Yeah, that was like, surely, maybe.
Yeah.
What are the others?
So he started his career at Blackburn Rovers, weirdly enough.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah, he spent some time on loan at Swindon and Sunderland. Then went to Newcastle United, stayed there a long time. Manchester City, as you've mentioned, Aston Villa, Middlesbrough on loan, and ended his career at Stoke City.
I'm amazed that we don't know he played for Sunderland. But that's not more common
knowledge.
He was on
loan, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he was on loan in 1996.
Right.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Don't beat yourself up over that one.
All right.
I feel Stoke, we both should have had that.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
So that's 1-0. Marcus, you're up first.
Oh.
The next player has played for 6 clubs in total. Mm-hmm. He retired in 1984.
Oh, piss off.
God.
You might have heard of him. Johan Cruyff.
Oh, hellfire.
I mean, he's one of the most famous football players of all time, to be fair.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Mm. 6 teams that Johan Cruyff has played for. Play along at home. Enjoy yourselves. Some of the older listeners will no doubt better name all of these clubs because he's such a famous player. I suspect some of the people in the studio may not.
Mm. That's so frustrating because there's 3.
Okay, Jim, can you go above 3?
I don't think I can. I'm going to have to.
Okay.
See how Marcus does this.
Okay, Marcus, you need to name 3 clubs.
I think you'll have the 3.
I suspect you might have 2.
Ajax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barcelona.
That's correct.
Feyenoord.
Very good.
I knew because he went to spite them.
He shithoused them.
But the Nazzle side, I couldn't remember.
So he played for Ajax and Barcelona, as you correctly identified.
Yeah.
He went to LA Aztecs.
That's it. Yeah. I knew it wasn't Cosmos.
And then he went to the Washington Diplomats.
Yeah, okay.
Then spent some time at Levante, back to Ajax, and then a final season at Feyenoord.
Yes.
Okay,
Levante.
Then. So,
I mean,
Jim,
he's getting that.
Yeah. Jim, you're up.
God.
What, 10 league,
again.
10 league appearances for Levante? You didn't get that. Jim, you're up first this time. Mm-hmm. You're 2-1 down. It's a big moment, this.
It is.
This player has played for 4 clubs in total, retired in 2009. It's Luis Figo.
Oh, no.
Luis Figo. Just 4 clubs in total.
I'm going to get 3.
I'm going to go all 4.
You're going to have to, brother. And if you do, you've won. You're
the give me the money myself.
And the lineal champion. It'd be amazing to see. It's 2-1. Hmm. Do you regret not going 4?
I'd be guessing at 4.
Oh, I'm guessing
I'm
at 4
sure
as well.
Yeah, so
okay.
I can't regret it too much.
Yeah.
So in a career from 1989 to 2009,
okay,
he played for 4 clubs in total. Luis Figo for the lineal championship belt. I mean, they'll be dancing on the streets
of Speller.
Of
Speller Town.
Of Ashted. Right. Okay. I'll tell you what, would you be paraded around the stadium at Fulham?
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah,
look, I haven't done it.
We might find out.
I was going to say, we might not, though.
Four clubs that Luis Figo's played for.
So I'm sure that Jim had the 3. So Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Inter.
Little one for trivia fans there. The transfer from Barcelona to Real Madrid was quite controversial, apparently.
Yeah. So I've got the choice of the Portuguese clubs, essentially. I think it was Sporting.
Sporting, you say?
Come on.
Max!
There it is! Hey!
The people's champion becomes the lineal champion of this game.
Oh, I tell you what.
Is this your first title?
I believe so.
Amazing scene. Amazing scenes. People thought it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
So that's 3-1. We'll play out very, very briefly. We'll play out the final one because, we want to complete it.
Can I just say, today, we've got one more, but playing a very, very gentlemanly spirit. Jim has been a great champion.
Jim, it's been a fleeting title for you. You don't know when you're going to get a chance to win it back again. How do you feel in retrospect?
I feel I should have gone for the 4. Because I think Sporting would have been my... It was a toss-up between Benfica and Sporting, and how can I possibly know what choice I would have gone with now? But it could have been there.
But he's been a good competitor, Jim. He's been a good champion, and I salute him. Mm. But of course, Jim now, I'm sure, will get behind me as champion. Because, if I win, we all win, Jim.
Is being patronised by Marcus making it better or what?
I don't know.
Anyway, the final player.
It's not really any different, is it?
For all those Luke's Game completists out there.
Here we go.
The final player, Marcus, goes first. No. He's played for 8 clubs in total, retired in 2010. Legend of the game as well, Ivan Campo.
Ah.
It's a dead rubber, but what can you do?
What can you do? Ivan Campo.
How many can you name? Give me a number.
I will say 3.
Jim? Do you do 4?
I'm going to go 8.
Great. All right, all 8. I'll tell you what, if you get all 8, I'll get a
you
special...
You can have the title back.
No, I'll give you an intercontinental belt. Special contribution to Luke's Game over the years. If you get all 8, all right? Here we go.
Go on, Jimbo.
Real Madrid.
Good lad.
Hang on, you don't know yet.
Oh, I do, I remember.
Yeah. I was there, I saw him.
Bolton Wanderers.
Yeah, this is where I was.
You must be getting nervous now, mate.
Very nervous.
It is on.
He's 25% there. On.
Real Sociedad.
Oh, no.
No.
4-1 Did he play for Besiktas?
No, he didn't.
Oh, that was my third one.
Alaves, Valencia, Valladolid, Mallorca, Real Madrid, Bolton Wanderers, Ipswich Town. And
I was going to say that as a
bloody
joke.
Ipswich Town. Yeah.
Finished at AEK Larnaca.
Oh, okay.
Which, if you'd have got that one,
I genuinely was going to say that as a joke. I mean, because earlier on you said it. Did you say Ipswich? And it made me think of Bielsa go Ipswich. So Ipswich was in my head.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jim, you are no longer the champion. Marcus is. I think Marcus showed signs of this potential when he pulled out an Alan Boxtitch last week.
Oh, yeah. That was my
in the controversial game that we don't speak of. I look forward to whatever mistake I've made this week coming out on Twitter later today. Until then, though, Marcus Speller is indeed the champion. A great bounce back after last week's null and void. You acted with great dignity there. Your appeal didn't request a win be awarded to you. You asked for it to be null and void. It was given. Mm-hmm. You're the champion now. It's paid off. Yeah. How do you feel?
I feel good. Can we make sure that the next time I'm on a Friday, Andy isn't?
Yeah, sure. What's been more important to you, the fire in your belly or the head in the freezer?
It's not mutually exclusive.
You need both.
You've got to have both, ladies and gentlemen. And it shows you, you know, obviously after last week, there was a lot of chat. Referee's decision's final.
Yeah.
But you were gracious enough. But I've shown you what you can achieve, ladies and gentlemen, if you dust yourself off.
Sheer hard work.
And pick yourself up. Exactly. We just want the process to be right.
We do. Okay? We do.
That's all we want.
We do.
Okay?
Count all the clubs. All the legal clubs. Listen, Didi Haman, not a legal club.
Yeah,
no,
exactly. No. I think the reason why that I took the title off Jim there is that Jim, I don't think he's had a good night's sleep. In fact, I think people are going to start calling him Sleepy Jim, is what I'm saying.
Low energy guy. Very low energy guy, Jim, isn't he?
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Betway. It's been a pleasure. Of course, we'll be back on Monday with some red-hot football chat. But until then, enjoy the weekend. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.